All right. Yeah, probably more of a pointed episode for sure.
I just mean
subject wise.
Sure.
You know, I don't think we were pointed.
I mean, in terms of like where my heart is in it, I was encouraged thinking about it all.
Thoroughly encouraged. Yeah. I'm just saying it's one of these subjects that
is not
new to Theocast. It's not new to the Reformation and it's not new to Paul.
And the way I look at it, John, nobody ever accused Paul of being a legalist. They clearly had trouble with his grace and his gospel.
Yeah, he said, I tried legalism and it doesn't work.
Sure. I mean, obviously the reformers were charged with this.
Yeah.
And the Marrow brethren in their day were called antinomian. I mean, so I'm kind of like, I'm happy to stand in line with those folks and take some bullets, take some arrows and be called a radical grace advocate.
Because scripture even says there, the gospel is so radical, some will call it foolish, others will call it a stumbling block. I mean, Paul puts that in there and I just go, okay, I feel okay.
Sure.
You know, and at many times Paul's had it almost... Multiple times, Paul had to justify what he was saying.
Of course.
You know, so Justin, you had a passage. This about to get Pisces.
Yeah.
This about to get, brother, read to us.
Brother, open
read
up
us
the book.
Words of Jesus.
Open up the good book and read to us now. So this is Luke chapter 17, and I'm only going to read verses 3 and 4, where Jesus says, pay attention to yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times in the day and turns to you 7 times saying, I repent, you must forgive him.
Mm.
What I wanted to observe, I said this to you just a second ago, is that is not how we are conditioned to think. And that is not how we have been taught to operate in the serious-minded evangelical church in the States. Because I say it this way, we are so, and all right, caveat, I am not saying that we should not use discernment, and I am not saying that we should not sincerely seek to evaluate repentance.
And we have to, when you say discernment, often when we're talking about criminal acts.
Sure.
Yeah.
Or like really heinous stuff.
Yeah.
And abuse, like really abusive situations. Of course, we should be discerning, and we need to protect the vulnerable.
But I don't think that Jesus meant that there.
But I think what I mean is the way that we've been taught and conditioned to operate and think, serious-minded evangelicalism, is you've sinned. You need to now demonstrate that your repentance is genuine before I'm going to forgive you and restore you. So, in to use Christ's words, we would like, hey, brother, you sin against me once and say, okay, I forgive you. But then you do it again and again and 7 times. I'd look at you and I'd say, bro, you've sinned against me 7 times today. There's no way in the world your repentance is genuine. You sinned against me 7 times, apparently in a similar fashion. I don't know that that's godly sorrow. Because if you were really repentant and if you were really sorrowful in your soul, you wouldn't do this. You wouldn't keep doing it. So I don't know that I can forgive you yet. I don't know that you should be restored yet, because that actually might mislead and deceive you. Because I don't know that this is genuine repentance. And I know that you can take this too far, and I'm not trying to be a shock jock.
Yeah.
I think we need to take Christ's words seriously.
Yeah.
From Luke 17, that if somebody looks at you and says, you know I was wrong and I'm sorry, forgive me. I've asked the Lord to forgive me and I'm asking you to forgive me. I think that we should feel an oughtness to, yes, brother, sister, I forgive you. So this is mercy and grace.
That's
man.
Right. So, yeah. I think it's fascinating that James, his brother, the half brother of Jesus, says, when you lack wisdom, you can ask God.
Yeah.
And he'll give it to you. Then he goes on to describe wisdom. This is James 3:17 and 18. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason. Listen to this, full of mercy. Mm. So mercy is to give somebody what they don't deserve, right? Good fruits, impartial and sincere, and a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace.
Amen.
There so come on, when you're like, I don't know if I can forgive this person, James goes, ask God, he'll help you.
Amen to that.
So good.
And I mean, there is a real component, obviously, when it comes to forgiving others, that, you know, the spirit may be willing and the flesh may be weak. And we say, like what you just said, we read James and it's like, ask the Lord for help and for grace.
And bro, you and I have done that in counseling. We're like, I'm having a hard time right now, Lord, forgiving this person.
You know, another thought, John, related. I think the more mature a person becomes in the faith, I'll even say it, The holier a person becomes, the more merciful and compassionate they become. Yeah, the gentler they become.
The demonstration of wisdom.
Correct.
That's right.
I think that, sadly, that's not what many of us have observed. Mm-mm. And that's not, again, what we've been taught and conditioned to think. Because it's almost like, no, the more mature I get, and in one sense, the holier I become, the more zealous and passionate I become about these things, to where I am the one, I'm going to pound the desk with that much more fervor, rebuking and admonishing others to be holy. Right? Mm-hmm. Again, rebuke, admonishment are good things. They need to be done lovingly. They need to be done with compassion, but they're good things.
That's right.
Having said that, we should grow in our mercy and our grace, our compassion, our charity, as we are matured in the faith. Because I think what we're growing deeper into is an understanding of the law, an understanding of the gospel. I'm growing deeper in my understanding. I'm renewing my mind, right, according to the mind of Christ, to understand the depth of my need, how much the Lord has done for me. Mm. I see the depth of my depravity more and more. I trust, I become increasingly grateful for Christ and the gospel. I'm humbled, right? And so then that changes how I interact with others. I care very much about God's honor. I care very much about people's lives because sin wrecks things, man.
That's right.
The law of God is good and holy and righteous and wise.
That's right.
And sin is terrible and destructive. And so I care about this. I want to spare people from these things. And at the same time, I do it in a humble and charitable way because I know that I am a debtor to grace and I have been forgiven much.
Right. And you know, yeah, there is an essence when he says you are not your own, you've been bought with a price, right? You're a living sacrifice, which means you can forgive because honestly, nobody can offend you.
Yeah.
Because I'm but a vessel of Christ.
Yeah.
And so Christ has offered forgiveness to me and he says, you can through my power, I will strengthen you. You can offer forgiveness to others. It's hard to hear that. But when you are set free, because people are like, don't tread on me. And I know that gets twisted and stuff. Yeah. But there is an essence of like, you will not take advantage of me. And Christ says, it's okay.
Yeah. Well, you and I were talking this morning when we were driving into the office about just being pastors and how it comes with the territory. It's part of the job because it is a role of authority and leadership. You're going to be misunderstood. People are going to say things that hurt. I trust not even meaning to do it. People might impugn your motivations. Mm. It happens, right?
Yeah.
It's happened to you. It's happened to me. And sometimes sheep bite.
Yeah.
It's all real, right? And this is relevant. What we're talking about is applicable because you and I were talking about how as we're doing this more and more, we've been through some things. We've been hurt.
We're learning.
The Lord's teaching us. He's tempering us. He's sanctifying us. He's maturing us in such a way that, you know, we're able to talk and acknowledge, like, you know, I've always endeavored to be a man who has, and a pastor who has thick skin and a tender heart. And I think the Lord is continuing to produce these things in me through what I've endured and because he's gracious and because sanctification's real. And so things that used to just wreck me, don't wreck me quite the same way anymore.
Yeah.
I don't take things as personally as I did when I was a little bit younger and a little bit newer in the ministry. I feel that. I know you agreed with me.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good thing for all of us as we think about living life in the church, because the question is not, will we be offended and sinned against? The question is just like, when and how soon will it happen again?
Yeah, brother. That's so. I'm so convicted right now as you're sitting there. You know, I'm thinking about people who have in the years I've been a pastor who have left my church or have criticized me, and I justifiably hold condemnation over their head. Yeah. And she's like, John, forgive them, man.
Amen.
You know, and I'm like, but I don't want to forgive them.
I know. That's real.
Yeah.
Because we're fallen humans too, man.
Yeah.
We're sinners in need of grace, just like every member of our church.
Yeah. I will, this is an encouragement I had to offer one of my church members recently, and the offense was, you know, gut-wrenching offense. And I said, you know what's interesting about Christ and the gospel is that when Christ gives us, he goes, hey, you're going to need to pray this every day. Lord, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debts.
As we forgive those who sin against us,
And the point of that is that every day you're going to have to forgive the same person for the same thing.
That's right.
Because it's hard.
Yeah.
grace, the radical grace that we overemphasize is the thing that helps you do it, not the law.
Talking about radical, I don't want to say this. I do. It's SR. I can just.
It's SR, baby.
This is my thoughts. You know, the word radical, we're sitting here and you're like, you know, this is something you're going to do every day and you need grace for this because it's hard to forgive your spouse, your kids, your coworker, your friend, your brother or sister in the church that just kind of grates on you and keeps doing the thing that hurts you. And you're called to forgive. Mm. That is far more difficult than getting geeked up to go on some short-term mission trip. That is much more difficult than doing the, like, oh, the quote unquote radical thing for Jesus. It's like, look, man, brother, sister, plant your life in a local church and love those people and bear with them because of Christ.
It'll
and
cost you more than what comes out of your bank account.
It is much harder, and it honors God, and it bears fruit in a way that is remarkable. And it's not as shiny. It's not as sexy. It's not as exciting. It's more mundane. It's very ordinary.
We like to choose our obedience, don't we?
Yeah, but this is what we're called to. And so another comment, man, while we're here, why not? People talk a lot about holiness and obedience. And a lot of times the people that are pounding the desk for holiness and obedience, nowhere near the top of their list of what holiness and obedience means is love for the brethren and bearing with one another in the midst of this kind of weakness and sin. I don't hear that. Yeah. When people are pounding the desk for holiness, it's usually you need to fight against lust. You need to read your Bible. You need to pray. You know, you need to fill in the ones that everybody wants to major on.
Evangelize.
Right. Evangelize. You need to
stand up against sin and culture.
And I mean, some other things, you know, maybe you shouldn't be prideful, though they're happy to acknowledge that we all struggle with pride. you shouldn't get angry. I mean, they'll say there's more to it, but rarely do I hear at the very top of that list of what holiness and obedience looks like and what is the greatest mark of a saint.
Second commandment.
Love for the brethren, like love for the saints, and a willingness to continue to live and walk with people who have hurt them because of Christ.
I mean, this sounds like a whole nother episode we need to do. Man. It really does, you know.
Anyways,
you guys, we're in Asheville. So thankful for you. Beyond thankful. Justin and I, it's not a pat on the back, but we do put a lot of work into Theocast. And because of your donations, it really does help us just with equipment and just being able to be together in the same place.
Well, even to cover the expenses of this kind of thing.
This kind of
to
thing.
Travel.
And then we're using a lot of this resources to do things like Theocast. You have the app, the extra podcast.
And to produce better quality content you to listen to and watch.
That's right. So we're super thankful for you. Justin, pray for him. We're working on a book. I'll just say that.
Yeah.
So pray for that. We'll let you know more about that as it's underway.
Yeah, it is. I mean,
it's literally underway. So we're excited about that. We'll stay tuned on that. And anyways, we got to go. We're running out of time. Yeah. Love you guys. See you soon.